You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's a great joy again, brethren, to be in the presence of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles then to Job chapter
19.
So earlier on we read from verse 1 to 29. So what's going to happen now? We're only going to read verse 25 to 27. And the title of this message, Hope in the Land of the Dead. Then we will read verse 25 to verse 27.
Kasusutu first. Petelong ota ema ampakele le ha talo la ka le tla re le selebodile ka maso modimo ke to mmona ke se mmeleng ona ke yena eo ke tla fela ke mmone ka sepo ke mmone ka maso a ka ke sa romeletsa ka pelo ya ka yohle ke laba labelo ho ke laba labela ho.
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Friends, we are living in a world that is so challenging, a world that is depressing. A world which leads us to be despondent, and at the time we feel like giving up. A world that leads us to be without direction. Where people will approach God as if God owes them something. Where lies are accepted as the truth, and the truth is rejected as a lie. Where one man's suffering is another man's bread. We have read earlier on from verse 1 to verse 29. We know a little bit of the story of Job. A man who suffered in this land. A man who was rejected by many. But the man who had hope. A man who realized that he was living in the land of the dead. And he was looking forward to the land of the living. Most of the time we think this is the land of the living. And then when somebody dies, we say he's in the land of the dead. But the truth is, this is the land of the dead. This is the land where God is rejected. Where people's hearts are depraved and desperately sick. And we are looking forward to the land of the living. The land of light, where God himself shall be the light of the world. So this morning we come to learn from the story of Job what God wants us to know while we are still here in the land of the dead. There is something that God wants us to know while we are still here in the land of suffering and pain, in the land of sorrow. We have said Job suffered solemnly, suffered severely in this land. He lost all that he once had. He was afflicted in every way and he was crushed, perplexed and almost driven to despair. He was persecuted. He was forsaken by his friends. He was forsaken by his wife. His world turned upside down. He was struck down. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his dignity. He suffered so much to the point whereby he began to contemplate on his death. He saw his life coming to an end. He began to look at life as though his grave has already been dug, as though his grave is already open for him and prepared for him. Listen to what he says in chapter 17, verse 1. My spirit is broken. My days are extinct. In other words, my days are destroyed. The grave is ready for me. You can feel the agony and the pain in the life of Job. Verse 22 tells us that he was already thinking that God was against him. That's what he was thinking. And at the same time, he was thinking so because his friends continued to preach false gospel, false news unto him. They were saying to him, he was suffering like that because he was unrighteous in the eyes of God. That's what people say. But that is not true, friends. When you read the story of Job, you realize what God said about Job. He says, there is none like Job on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was Job. Verse 23 tells us that Job wanted us to know about these things. So the question that remains is, how does the gospel of God, how does the true gospel of Jesus Christ give comfort in times of suffering, in the land of the dead, in difficult times of sorrows and pain? Does the gospel give hope in this land of the dead? Does the gospel give answers to so many questions which may seem at times to be of legitimate concern? It is when you suffer, you ask God, why me? Why is God silent? Why is God not intervening on my situation? You keep saying, God, I've done everything in accordance to your ways. I've raised my children right. I've followed your commandments. I've devoted myself to you. So why is these things happening to me? Why have you forsaken me? Those are the questions that we normally ask when we suffer. So this morning, I want to remind you that God actually cares and God has a plan for us. He says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Yes, plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future. So after a long time of suffering and many sessions of discouragement and false theology from his friends, Job then begins to remember that God is on his side. Job begins to remember the goodness and the grace of God in his life. His faith and trust in God is revived, as it were. Look at verse 25. Verse 25, he begins to evangelize his friend. He begins to tell the people who mocks him. He begins to tell them what is his hope. He begins to proclaim what will keep your faith strong even in your deathbed. He tells them what he knows. You see, my friend, you must know something. And something that you must know is this thing that Job says he knows. Job knows that hope in the land of the dead is first to know the Redeemer. That's number one. You need to know the Redeemer. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Job says, I have a better hope. He begins to share something that suffering itself will never separate him from. He says, even though God seems to be silent with me, but I know that he lives. I know that my God will take care of me. Though I am lonely, though I am on my own, though I have nobody, but my Redeemer lives. The world has been turned upside down for me. All has been taken away from me. My wealth, my family, and my dignity is stolen from me. My servants no longer respect me. They refuse to help me. My wife is provoked by the smell of my breath. My friends want me to mock God. They want me to turn against God. Even the children in the township, they despise me. And my skin is hanging loose on my bones. But I know my Redeemer lives. So there is something that cannot be taken away from me. That is Job. There is this someone, although I have not seen him face to face, I have not met him face to face, but I love him and I believe in him and I trust in him and I know that he lives. And my hope today is that Redeemer. That is Job. He has someone that he believes. He calls him his Redeemer. He says, I know. In other words, regardless of my sorrows and my pain, regardless of my suffering in this world, regardless of my little faith at times, but I know. Then he says in verse 25, my Redeemer. He says, my. He used the word mine. So he claims a personal relationship with this Redeemer. He identifies himself with this Redeemer. So according to Job, there is no man that he expects to rise among his friends to redeem him, to rise among his friends to vindicate him. He says, it may seem as though I have no relative right now, but there is someone that you don't know about, someone that I know. There is someone who's the closest relative to me. Friend, let me explain to you the words that Job is using here, the word Redeemer. Maybe we'll appreciate then what Job is talking about. You see, in those days of the past, when you owned a land or you owned property, then it happens that you go bankrupt. You were supposed to sell your property or give yourself as a slave. So if you give yourself as a slave later on in life, then someone from your house, a next of kin, receives the right to buy you back, a right to free you, a right to pay a ransom for
you.
That is called a kinsman redeemer. So picture it this way. You are a slave. You can't pay for anything. But there is a time where anybody from your family is given a right to purchase you back. So you sit there, you wait for 50 years for someone to relieve you from slavery. And you hope that maybe someone will come, and sometimes someone doesn't come. But Job has his hope in him that there is someone in the same picture like that who will come and rescue him from his suffering. Someone will pay a ransom for him. And in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, the Bible gives us something very beautiful there.
Mark 10:45.
This is what the Bible says in the New Testament. It says, even the Son of Man came not to be saved, but to save. And to give his life a ransom for many. That is, yes, that is the hope for Job. Someone who will give his life as a ransom for many. That is our hope also for today. So though Job is still in the land of the dead, in this land of sin, but his confidence is in the Lord. Just as we have the same confidence as Mark 10 verse 45 says, we have someone who came to ransom us. He gave with his life. So Job stands there in the land of the dead, in this world of sin. He has this hope within his heart. He rejoices in knowing the Redeemer. He rejoices in his personal relationship with someone whom alone can free him from his misery. And as for me and you, my friends, we see here the greatest joy of knowing Jesus Christ, the greatest joy of knowing the Lord as Savior, knowing him as the closest relative, someone you can call in the times of trouble when your family and friends have forsaken you. There is someone you can hope unto. Someone you need to know. So we see the greatest joy of knowing Jesus, who came as our Redeemer, who came willingly to redeem us from our sins. He came willingly to pay that price, that debt that we had to our God. Hallelujah. That is Jesus Christ. Someone we can trust. Someone we can depend upon. Someone we can put our lives on his hands. Someone we can have a personal encounter with him today. The only hope in the land of the dead. The only one who can take away your sorrows, your pains, and your suffering in this world. The one will not despise you or forsake you. Because your friends will. So first, the thing that we must recognize here is that the most important thing in the land of the dead, in this land of the dead, in the land of sin, in this land of suffering and sorrows and pain, the one thing that we must know, you must know the Redeemer. You must have a personal relationship with the Redeemer. But let us see then, secondly, how will this Redeemer redeem Job? Because Job is suffering. Will this Redeemer restore Job's wealth? Will this Redeemer restore Job's dignity? Will he restore Job's health? Is that what Job is looking forward to? Is that what is in the heart of Job? Just like the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will follow. So we see the same here in the life of Job. Even in trouble, even in suffering and sorrow, his hope is not in the things of the world. Look at verse 25 again. He says, at last he will stand upon the earth. So that's how the Redeemer will be seen, as my Redeemer. So you see, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Job was written before Genesis was written. But now, if Job says, on the last, he shall stand upon the earth. So what we need to do then, we need to go back to the Bible and look from Genesis now. Is there any promise that comes from God that someone will come and stand on the earth? We meet Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they fall into sin. God puts judgment upon them. And the whole world is cursed because of them. But immediately, in chapter 3, verse 15, God gives a promise. He says, someone will come and he will crush the serpent's head. So as we read now, from there onwards, in our minds, we want to see who is it that will come. Because now there's a promise. So we want to know, who is it? Then you read the book of Genesis. We meet the man called Abraham. God calls him from worshipping idols. Then he says, upon him all the nations of the earth will be saved, will be blessed. So now we begin to see the promise again. Remember, Job said, he shall stand on the earth. So we want to see who is it that will stand on the earth. Because Job doesn't tell us who is it that will stand on the earth. There, God says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says that was Jesus. The same promise that God gave to David. He says he will raise a son of David who shall sit and establish the kingdom of God. So the story goes. Then we come to the New Testament. We see how God reveals this Redeemer to us. We see how this Redeemer will be recognized as the hope in this land of the dead. He will stand. He will be seen. He will be recognized. He will be identified. John chapter 1, verse 29. As Jesus came for baptism, actually as Jesus was walking by, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. John 3 verse 14. Listen to what Jesus himself says. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Noah,
John 8:28. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. Friends, there it is revealed to us. Who is this Redeemer? And then the Bible reveals to us that He already stood on the air. So Job was hoping for the coming of Jesus Christ. Friends, here is my point. Here is my point. In the land of suffering, in the land of sorrows and pain, the hope in this land of the dead is the Redeemer, the man who stood upon the earth. But why was it necessary for him to stand upon the earth? Why was necessary that the Redeemer would stand here on earth to come here in the world of sin? Job 13, verse number 3. He says here, this is Job speaking. Says, but I will speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case with God. So Job says here, he wants to speak to the Almighty. He wants to communicate with God. Listen very carefully. It is possible that Job here was saying he wanted to pray and speak to God. But in the last portion he says he wants to argue his case before God. That is not possible, my friends. No man can argue his own case before God. That is why then someone had to come and stand on the edge, because only that person can stand and argue man's case before God. So we see the reason why the Redeemer had to come and stand on the earth. Because men cannot argue their case before God. But someone had to argue the case of man before God. So when we look at the coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the Redeemer. We see how He appeared in the land, how He appeared here in the world, in the human nature. He stood on the land of Judea. He walked the streets of Galilee. He walked the dusty roads of Jerusalem, healing, teaching, and saving people. And finally, he was lifted up on that old rugged cross. He stood upon the land. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, as he was nailed on that cross, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. Disarm. Like someone coming to you and taking your gun and throwing it away. So we see a picture here of the enemy loaded with weapons, but at the gate of Jesus Christ, that enemy's weapons were taken away. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. And he triumphed over them. That's how Jesus redeemed his people. He gave true hope to his people. That was the hope of Job. That someone will stand on the earth and disarm the rulers and authorities. That was the hope of Job. So as we look back on that cross, there we find our hope, my friends. We see our lives hidden in Him. That is how He will redeem Job. He will leave His glory above, and He will come to this land of sin and take upon Him human form. He will be humbled even to the death, to the death of the cross. That's what Jesus did for us. But thirdly, How will this then bring a better life to Job? How will this be better than the life which Job once lived? The life of riches and plenty that Job once lived. Or the life of suffering and sorrows and shame and pain that Job is now living. How is this Redeemer going to give some kind of a better and a greater hope than the things of this world? Job says, after this Redeemer stands upon the earth, after the cross, after all the teachings and the healings and the saving of people, there is eternal life with the Redeemer. Look at verse 26 and
27.
Friends, there is eternal life with the Redeemer. It says, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Friends, after this Redeemer stands on the earth, there is eternal life. So as we look back and we remember Jesus Christ standing on the earth, now we're looking forward to eternal life. Job says there is eternal life. I will explain his ways. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse
4.
He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Friends, there's one thing you must like about Job. Job knew that the suffering and the riches of this world will not be compared to the blessing of God that comes after the grave. He says, I will die, but I shall pass through death and enter into eternal life. I will pass through this land of the dead, and I will go through to the land of the living. That was Job's hope. So there is a glorious day that awaits me beyond the grave. So friends, the hope of Christians begins in this world, but it goes beyond this world. Our hope goes beyond this world. We don't. That is why we don't look much on what is happening against us. There is future glory that lies ahead of us in Jesus Christ. If you are in Him, you shall see Him. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? He said again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as far as Job is concerned, listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Job says, there is life after death. My skin will be destroyed, but in my flesh I shall see God. And Jesus Christ, he comes and says in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. Eternal life after this life. He says, in my skin will be destroyed, In other words, I will face decay. Do you know which Zalani? All of us here, we will face decay. We will die and rot in grave, in the grave. If Jesus Christ doesn't come tomorrow, if Jesus Christ doesn't come in the next 100 years, me and you will be in the grave. And this skin will rot. This skin will decay. But listen to what Job says. Even this skin, even if this skin is destroyed, but in my flesh, I will see God. Jesus Christ says, I am resurrection and I am life. So, because of this Redeemer, I will see God. Only because of this Redeemer, one can see God. Only because of this Redeemer, you will see God face to face. So, Job trusts the Redeemer with his life now. You need to trust God with your life today. He says, I know now that the Redeemer lives. Job trusts God with his life tomorrow. He shall stand on the earth. Job trusts God with his life forever. He says there's eternal life in God. So because of this Redeemer, I have a life with God. A life that cannot be taken away from me. A life that the devil cannot be allowed to destroy. For this Redeemer gives eternal life. Friends, maybe I should be asking the question. Have you met this Redeemer? Do you know this Redeemer? Do you have the same hope as Job? That one day you will be raised from the dead. Job says, I have nobody in this world to vindicate me. But one day, I will gaze upon the eyes of the Lord. I will gaze upon his beauty. I will be surrounded by his glory. My eyes will see him. In verse number 27, he says, my heart faints within me. In other words, I cannot wait to see him. I'm suffering now, but I've got greater hope. And I will see him face to face. I will gaze upon his beauty. I long for that land. The land of milk and honey, where there will be no need for the sun to shine by day and the moon by night. And because of this Redeemer, I will get there. That's the question I should be asking. Will you get there? Because I will see him, I will look at him, I have hope beyond the grave. So my friend, let me tell you this. If that's not your hope, if that is not your hope, I don't know what your hope is then. Because anything else that you put before you as your hope is a dead hope. If your hope is not to enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, if Tawiahau, I'll see Ukena dating your high. Yes.
If your hope is not to enter his gate.
Yes. Then you don't have hope. If your hope is not to pass through this land of the dead to the land of the living, then you don't have hope. If your hope is not to be taken to the land where there will be no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, then you don't have hope. Where there will be no crime. There will be no weeping. There all your tears will be wiped away. So my friends, your faith, your life can be tested in this world. It can be tested for a little while. But God has promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the hope in this land of the dead. He is your hope today. He is your hope tomorrow. He is your hope forever. Regardless of what is happening, regardless of what people say, if you are in Christ, you have eternal life. So you need to make sure, my friends, when Christ calls, when Christ comes, when the curtain falls, will you be found trusting in Jesus? Will you be found as one whose hope is in the Redeemer? Will you be found trusting in the one who is the resurrection and the life? Remember, Job cried. If you read from verse 21, you will see Job cried and there was no one there for him. There was no one loving him. There was no one appreciating him. There was no one respecting him. But at last, he lifted up his eyes and he realized what you need to realize today. Something that we all need to realize today. He says, I know my Redeemer is. You must know the Redeemer. He says, he will stand upon the earth. So he shall come and be among us. He shall be counted with us. So that I may be counted with him. I will die, but I will still see him. Because I'm in him. And my heart faint within me. Let me give you this last note. You may be uncertain about many things in this life, my friend. You may not be sure whether you will get married in this life or not. You may be uncertain whether God will ever heal your body. But there is one thing you must be sure about. There is one thing you must be certain about. Will you see God someday? Will you see him face to face? When your skin has been destroyed, will your flesh rise to glory because you have known the Redeemer? Will your flesh rise from the dead to glory because you have identified yourself with the Redeemer? Will you be raised from the dead because you have known that the Redeemer lives? That is the beauty about Christianity, my friends. That is the beauty about knowing Jesus. He is our hope today. In the land of the dead, where there is suffering and sorrow, He is our hope tomorrow. He is our hope forever. So we need to come to Him. That's the one we need to bow before Him. And that is the true mark, my friend, of a believer. What is the true mark of a believer? You love and live for Jesus regardless of the situation. The true mark of Christianity, my friend, is that you have hope for the future. There's so many things that we can say about Job. One of the things is that his health and his wealth and his dignity was restored to him. Another thing we can mention about Job is that the story of Job is a picture of Jesus Christ suffering. But what I wanted you to get this morning is that Job's hope was not that his dignity must be restored, but to see God one day. Let that be your hope. To see God one day. Arrabele. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us today. We pray that this word may reach our hearts.
and that we might find good ground, and that you might give the increase. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we are about to leave, may we not forget what we have learned, may we not forget what we have heard, and even in the pain of this world, may we be like Job and put our trust in you, the Redeemer. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.